Hi, everybody. This is Carol Topp of homeschoolscpa.com. It's a website I created to help homeschool leaders, homeschool groups, and homeschool businesses be successful by using my accounting information, my accounting background. And I have been doing a series of podcasts called What Homeschool Groups Don't Know That Could Hurt Them. So I've done this is the sixth of six episodes. The previous episodes involved helping homeschool groups understand nonprofit status and then understand tax-exempt status, which you can apply for and get from the IRS so you don't have to pay taxes on any of your surplus money. Getting tax-exempt status is easier than it used to be. So that was episode number 63. The next one in the series, episode number 64, I discussed the fact that there are some homeschool groups out there that don't know that the IRS requires an annual report from tax-exempt organizations to keep your tax-exempt status. If you don't file this annual report, call it a Form 990, then you might lose your tax-exempt status. So the next episode, number 65, was about losing your tax-exempt status, unfortunately, or how to get it back, more importantly, so that you don't have to pay taxes to the IRS. Then in the fifth episode, which was the fifth part of this podcast series, which was episode number 66, I talked about the very important topic of properly classifying your workers, any workers that you have in your homeschool organization. And especially I focused on teachers, whether they are properly classified as employees or independent contractors. Getting that wrong can be very expensive because the IRS will assess penalties and they can be quite punitive. So we want to get that right and start by listening to that podcast, episode number 66, and figuring out if you're treating your workers properly. And I can also help with that if you need more individual help. So the final thing that I think homeschool groups don't know that can hurt them is about fundraising accounts. So you probably do some kind of fundraiser in your organization. That's good. It's a great way to bring in money without having to charge, you know, your members higher fees or higher, you know, co-op tuition fees or something like that. So fundraisers are a good idea. And as you know, there are some families that participate heavily in fundraisers and some that don't participate at all. So as an incentive to get people to participate in the fundraisers, a lot of nonprofits would say, well, let's kind of split the proceeds of the nonprofit up to the families. And therefore, if a family participated more, they got, you know, a little, they set up a little kind of family account or something like that. And that family account could maybe use it on, you know, paying for things like their co-op fees or field trip fees or something like that. Boy Scouts did this for years and years and years, and Girl Scouts have done it and things like that too. Boy Scouts would kind of share some of the fundraiser proceeds by earmarking them in, they call them Scout accounts. And then that Boy Scout could use the money in his Scout account for, you know, camps and all the different things Boy Scouts do. Well, I got wind a couple years ago that the IRS does not like this, does not like you sharing the proceeds of your fundraiser with individuals, does not like you setting up what are called individual fundraising accounts. Okay. And that is because the IRS prohibits what they call inurement. It's a very funny word, inurement. It's only used by the IRS as far as I know. But inurement is defined as basically money that belongs to the organization flowing down to individuals. See, and the idea here is that your group, if you're a nonprofit, is set up for the benefit of the group at large. And an individual is not entitled to enrich himself at the organization's expense. So in other words, your family is not supposed to be getting, you know, enrichment, getting, and I know you're not getting rich, folks, but they're not supposed to be benefiting themselves individually, personally, financially from money that really came into the organization. So think about that. If there was a fundraiser and someone participated in a fundraiser, they thought they were giving it to the Boy Scout troop or to your homeschool group as a whole. Therefore, it's not supposed to trickle down to your individual family. Okay. So that's what's called inurement. The IRS prohibits it. You can lose your tax-exempt status if you practice inurement, which is, again, setting up these family accounts or these individual fundraiser accounts. I helped one homeschool organization, and when they showed me that we were helping them get IRS tax exempt status, and when they showed me their financial statements, they had this rather complicated spreadsheet of all the fundraisers they did, going down as rows, and across the columns were all the family names that participated, and then they'd sum it up. So, you know, the fundraiser number 3, you know, the Jones and the Smith family and the Anderson family and the, you know, the top family or something like that all participated and would split the proceeds up by some measure of, you know, maybe how much they sold or how many hours the parents volunteered or something. And my jaw dropped when I saw this complicated spreadsheet. This group was doing like over 12 fundraisers, ladies and gentlemen, bringing in a substantial portion of their revenue from only fundraisers. And then, like I said, distributing it. On paper, they never gave the families cash, but on paper, they were distributing it. They'd say, okay, Anderson family, you know, you have $100 in your family account, but the Smith family, man, they did really better. They did $500. And so then they would discount the family's tuition based on the amount in the fundraiser accounts. That is not allowed, ladies and gentlemen. Stop doing it. If you're doing it right now, if you are tracking in any way, shape, or form your fundraisers and rewarding the, you know, setting up family accounts, you know, to basically give them credits on how much they fundraise, that's prohibited by the IRS, and you need to stop. You just need to stop doing it right now. Even the Boy Scouts stopped doing it. I found a blog article. You can find it on my website over at homeschoolcpa.com. Go on the blog page. There's a search box. Type in Boy Scouts, and you can read how even the Boy Scouts stopped. I hope they all stopped. It was in the Scout manual that no longer would these individual Scout accounts be allowed. The IRS takes this very seriously. They will probably look at the accounts and say, oh, parents, if you received $100 of the fundraiser proceeds or $500 from the fundraiser proceeds, that's taxable income to you. Did you report it on your income tax? You didn't? Oh, penalties your way. Okay, they're pretty serious about it. All right, so you do not want this to happen to your families. And your organization will lose its tax-exempt status if they find out this is happening. They're very serious about it. And you do not want to lose your tax-exempt status because you do not want to have to be paying taxes to the IRS, right? We don't want that. Not if you're a nonprofit and eligible for tax-exempt status. You want to keep it. So my advice is when you have a fundraiser, make sure that the group knows that this is for the benefit of the group, not for individuals, okay? Now, there are times when a homeschool leader will email me and she say, well, you know, there's a group of our kids, like a subgroup of our whole group, and maybe they're, you know, the high school senior class, and they're going on their annual field trip to Washington, D.C. or something like that. So not everybody in the organization is benefiting from this. And I say, well, that's okay. You can do a fundraiser for an activity like a trip, an educational trip. Make sure it's educational, not personal pleasure here. Educational. But the discount, you know, needs to be distributed to everybody going on the trip. You don't give a bigger discount to one family than another family based on their fundraising efforts. That's what's not allowed. So it should bring down the cost of the trip to everybody going on the trip, not one family over another. I think it also ends up building, a sense of teamwork and a sense of camaraderie when everybody's in this together, trying to get the fees reduced for everybody. Okay, so stop sending up those fundraiser accounts. Stop distributing your fundraiser proceeds down to the families. I don't want to see you get in trouble with the IRS. My goal is to help you run your homeschool group successfully, legally, properly, and you know, for a long time. I want you to be around for a long time. I don't want your homeschool groups to get in trouble with the IRS for not doing things properly. Hey, so if this is confusing to you and you need more information, hop on over to homeschoolcpa.com. I also have a book that might be helpful to some of you where I talk about this. It's called Money Management in a Homeschool Organization. So you might find that helpful. You can find it on Amazon or you can find it at homeschoolcpa.com. That's the book on money management in a homeschool organization. And I always do personal consultations. If you have a bunch of questions you want to ask about the money in your homeschool group, or are you being set up properly legally? If you have questions about some of the practices that you're doing, if you see other groups doing individual fundraiser counts and wonder, well, why can't you? Well, then maybe you need to tell them about this podcast, and especially about this episode, episode number 67, about fundraising accounts, so that they don't get in trouble with the IRS either. All right, none of us wants that. I want the best for you folks. I sure hope this podcast has been helpful, and come back next time. I'll be sharing some more helpful tips for homeschool leaders. This is Carol Topp with Homeschool CPA. Take care, everybody.
Homeschool leader, do you feel confused or overwhelmed by the job of running your homeschool group? You're not alone. Carol Topp, the Homeschool CPA, is here to help. Carol is an accountant, author, and retired homeschool mom who understands you. Her website has helpful information on co-ops, paying workers, and managing the money in a homeschool group. If you need personalized advice, set up a consultation with Carol. She's happy to discuss your particular situation. Visit homeschoolcpa.com today and get the information you need to successfully run your homeschool group.